Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Munga, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon. How are you, my leader?
Very well, thank you. Are you well this day?
I'm great. And how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us once again.
It's a pleasure.
Now, we're continuing with the discussion that we started yesterday, talking about the faith-based approach to emotional well-being. And if you are out there joining us for the first time, well, you're not too out yet, because there is only the second day, and we're going to Friday with the pastor. And so with that, we are looking at, you know, things like anger, empathy, fear, joy, sadness, anxiety happen to all of us. And they're actually involuntary, like eyes that water when looking too long at the sun. Before we stop to calmly decide whether to get cross with a man that just cuts us off the highway, our fist clenches, a bad word escapes our lips, and the adrenaline rushes to our heads. But what is the faith response to stimuli that causes anger, sadness, anxiety, etc.? Is it actually wrong to feel human emotions? And so we're going to be discussing and getting to unpack that particular question today. So, Pastor, are there right and wrong emotions to have? Is it sinful for a Christian to be angry, to be depressed, annoyed, anxious, etc.?
No, these are, when we have these emotions, they show that the first verse that we are normal. Every human being has got these emotions. The only question is, how do we respond? How do we manage anger? Remember, the Bible says you can be angry, but not up to the close of the day.
Mm.
It says you can be angry, yes, but yeah, it should not go until the close of the day because of the negative effects that they have on us.
Mm-hmm.
So, wrong emotions for sure are there. You remember when Cain killed Abel?
Mm-hmm.
God's question was, why are you annoyed? That's the question God raised to Cain.
Yeah.
Why
yeah.
are you annoyed? Why are you not happy?
Mm-hmm.
And because there is something had, so one can see that there was something wrong with that.
Mm.
We have got right and wrong emotions. This person was bending, he kills the brother because of those offerings. And then he goes ahead, he's angry, and God questions that anger.
Yeah.
So that means it's not only Cain who is questioned, but even us today. When we are not in a mood, that is not all right. God is concerned. Why? Because these emotions, whether it's anger, whether it's anxiety, depression, they have got, they take a toll on our health. When they are in excess, like anger, they have got a negative effect on our health. So they need to be managed. Wonder now we have got emotional intelligence courses or lessons where you can manage your emotions, where you can manage your anger. And those are very important because they can be either right or they can be wrong.
Mm. Now, what lessons do we learn from Christ's mental or emotional state at the Garden of Gethsemane? And how can we apply those in our lives? Not only at the garden, by the way, but throughout his life, we see certain instances where he's expressing emotions. But I remember at the time when they were coming to, a cell at the temple, for instance, he gets in there, turns the table upside down, and man, it becomes chaos. So, at the Garden of Gethsemane, yes, emotional state, mental state, and also in other, you know, parts where we see in his scripture. How can we pick up some lessons there and apply them in our own lives?
Thank you. From the lifestyle of Jesus, one thing that we can see that our emotions can be managed. Jesus managed his emotions. There was no moment where I would say at the end of the day, no, I wish I had not done that.
Mm-hmm.
Like those people who were driven out of the temple, some verses even say he whipped them, driven out of the temple. And this is the same Jesus who goes out there now to heal someone who is sick, son of David, have mercy on me.
Mm-hmm.
So we can see that his emotions were well managed.
Yeah.
We find the same thing with Moses. Remember when they made a golden calf? The Bible records Moses in Numbers that there was no one who was as meek, as humble as Moses.
Mm.
But this humble Moses is the one who called the elder brother to account. And then they demolished that, they crushed that golden calf, put it in ash, they burn it, and everyone lines up with his elder brother to drink that water.
Mm-hmm.
Punish them. What do you see? Even crushing the Ten Commandments. Remember Moses crushing the Ten Commandments?
Yeah, yeah.
And God did not even rebuke him about that. So what we learn from Jesus that emotions can be managed.
Mm-hmm.
At this stage, it requires you to cool down. Here you raise the emotions because the situation demands so.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe the only thing that we may not reach is when you talk about that particular account in Gethsemane, what you've been interested to learn with our listeners that you remember the Bible in Luke chapter 22, verse 44, there it talks about the sweat coming mixed with the blood.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what is of great interest that is that his statement is only recorded in the book of Luke from the Gospels.
Mm-hmm.
Because Luke was a doctor, and that is a medical condition where the blood capillaries that supply blood to the sweat glands, when they rupture, and they only rupture when one is undergoing intense emotional distress, then those blood capillaries ruptured, and then they mix, the sweat starts mixing with the blood. Now, that shows us, Jesus passes through whatever we are passing through as human beings. Because there are certain times when you may say, well, maybe him was this. No, he was 100% a human being, and he was 100% God.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's nothing that you cannot pass through that he don't pass it through. The stress that you have today in Johannesburg or Cape Town, he passes through the same. And it was well managed. Meaning we can also manage our stress, our anger, whatever emotions we pass through by God's power.
Yeah. Now, can I just check then, Pastor, because you are saying that there is no emotion that he could not go through because he was fully human and fully God. However, the same can be said that, precisely because he was also God, that's why he was able to manage that.
And that is to our advantage. Because one, he was a human being, to give you and I an example.
Mm.
Then he was God, to give you power to overcome. You remember he would pray to his father. Whatever he did it because of the power from his father. Father, let this cup pass away from me. He was a human being to give you an example, to give you and I an example. And he was also God, so that today, when you are in his situation, he can give you power to overcome the way he overcame also.
Now, what does trusting God look like in the midst of difficult emotions? In fact, before we get to that question, because some emotions, it could be, emotions of or feelings of fear, doubt, feeling distant from God. And these are the emotions that sometimes come, to us as a result of this, that, or the other. How can we apply our faith and beliefs to these emotions?
I would suggest the formula that David would use. When you read like Psalm 42, verse 5, why are you cast down, my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. You are talking about positive self-talk. You may not have someone to talk to you, to write you a text, but you can talk to yourself.
You
can encourage yourself. That is positive self-talk. We are living in a busy world where you are crying in a corner, the other person is also crying in a corner. You may not have someone to console you. People may not see you. But David would go in a corner and write a song.
Yes.
Why are you cast down? Hope in God.
Yeah.
So we can have a positive self-talk.
Yeah.
Encouraging ourselves. If you were in such a situation, what would you want to hear? And you speak that to yourself.
Yeah.
And that is very important for us. I think we have got less of this now in our positive self-talk. We need it a lot.
Now, trusting God and having these difficult emotions, how does that work? How should it work out?
I'm looking at the book of Job here, chapter 13, and then you have what, verse 15, where Job says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, or will I wait for him? And this same Job, when you go down in chapter 19, he says, I know that my Redeemer lives. This is a person who has lost all his children. This is a person who has lost his wealth. He has lost his health. The friends are there to discourage him. But he says, I know that my Redeemer lives. In other words, we need to live by convictions, not opinions. I do not need to have an opinion about who God is. I need convictions, because convictions hold us. We hold opinion. Opinions are like wind. When it blows, you go the other side. But we need that conviction.
Mm.
Whatever you pass through, Job says, even if he kills me, it's fine. Mm. I will still trust in him. And that is what it is to trust God in the midst of difficult emotions. But you, when you compare yourself or myself with Job, you find that even in just a very small thing, someone, the whole world just falls apart. Someone wants to commit suicide. Someone wants to do this and that. If there's someone who didn't do that, it was Job. But look at how he reacted. So meaning our attitude towards the challenges that we face in life also matters. And we see it in life, in the life of Job. Trusting God even more when we are tried or when we are tempted.
Mm. Yeah, and now... In terms of anger, when we talked about anger, we spoke about fear, etc. Is it wrong to be angry with God, to be disappointed with him, to be annoyed with him when things don't go according to what we've asked him, our prayers?
No, it is not wrong. It is not wrong to be angry with God. I look at Naum in the book of Ruth, is like verse 20 there. And she said unto them, call me not Naum, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me.
Mm, mm.
And she continues further to say, I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home empty. Why call me Naum? Naum means fitness.
Mm-hmm.
He's seeing the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me. Now, this is Naum. She's angry with God.
Mm.
And the whole, all her anger is unleashed towards God.
Yeah.
Why?
Mm.
When you read there between the lines, you find that this is a language that is used by people who are in a love relationship.
Mm. Mm.
When you feel disappointed, Naum expected all these disasters not to fall upon her. But now that they have fallen upon her, as far as she's concerned, she's directing her anger at God. She's not going to a sangoma to look for the cause of this and that, but she goes direct to God, her lover.
Mm. Mm.
And as you go down the book of Ruth, God does not even answer Naomi, but through providing for Ruth and everything around, you hear how the same Naomi now is praising God in the same book of Ruth.
Mm.
God just brings circumstances that show that even when she has lost her children, when she has lost her husband, God still loves him. So there is nothing wrong to be angry with God. But what we do in that anger is what matters. How would we respond? Because we can, yeah, you remember, it is this same anger that made the Ruth to stick to this Naomi. God can be related to at a personal level.
Mm.
This woman just talks about this God. She said, no. Then your God will be my God. Mm. Your people will be my people. It was because of that personal attachment that she had with her God.
Mm. Beautiful stuff.
So I don't see anything wrong to be angry with God.
Yeah. Lovely. And thank you so much for that, because sometimes when people are not happy and, disappointed and angry, they now end up not knowing what to do with those emotions, because they've been told time and time again that, no, you can't be angry with God. It's sinful. But hey, I'm glad that it's not a sin after all. Thank you so much for reassuring us of that. Pastor, I must thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. It's been a fantastic afternoon. And we are going to be talking to you once again tomorrow at the same time and same place.
It's a pleasure for me and for our listeners. God bless you all.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.